Third hour, Darren Donick and Chase on this gorgeous Tuesday here in Middle Tennessee. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you. We're going to talk a little NFL draft. Thursday will be 1 week out. I can't think of a better guy to do it with as I hold in my hand, gentlemen, our lads' scouting service, the 2021 draft guide. It is in my hand, and it feels good. Dan Shanka has been at it for a long time, and he is the man responsible for that thing in my hand. Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Darren. Yeah, it's a work of love or a passion that we've had over the years. And so any of the little mistakes you see in there are mine too. So I guess that's part of publishing a book.
We were talking about this yesterday, Dan. When Trevor Lawrence is out doing community work in Jacksonville, why don't the Jags just go on and announce their pick and sign him up and say, the Jets, you're on the clock, and my guess is, Zach Wilson will be spotted in the Big Apple and Times Square as well, and they can go on and, announce that they're taking him, and we can sit here and try to figure out who San Francisco is going to take at three.
Yeah, no, that's, as you recall, Darren, several years ago, that's what they used to do. The hay's in the barn. We know who the number one pick's going to be, so we're going to go ahead and start contract negotiations and get him all signed up. And the way it looks, Zach Wilson is going to the Jets. So that could be the next contract. But I don't know why they're hesitating. Maybe they'll start a couple days before the draft or some say, hey, this is going to be our guy.
Yeah, in fact, the example that came to mind was Mario Williams. The Texans did that with him, right? Didn't they just go on and say, hey, we're taking Mario Williams and we've got him under contract and that's that?
Yep, they certainly did, Darren. So, but there's been other quarterbacks that have been negotiating prior to that first pick also. But, hey, we'll see what Jackson, my wife knew 2 years ago he was going to the number one team, whoever that was going to be, and it looked like it was going to be Jacksonville for a long time, so they could have started those negotiations, I guess, when his Clemson career was over.
So San Francisco has traded up, and so they have to know, right, who they're taking at three, but yet it's amazing how it seems like, I agree with what you do, your assessment. Everybody kind of seems to be on the same page of how one and two is going to go, but doesn't seem like it is all over the place at number three. But you know they have to know, right? They gave up a lot to get to that spot. So who do you think they're taking at three? Who was the guy that they traded for? Who do they want?
Well, I think that what they did, Darren, is they jumped up there to say that we know who those other two quarterbacks are going to be. We want to make sure we want our guy. And I think their guy is Mac Jones, and I don't want to sound like I'm singing to the choir, but if you read our report, he's a perfect fit for what Kyle Shanahan wants to do. But that being said, I mean, the accuracy and all that Mac Jones has, he doesn't have the wheels and that, if he's going to pull the ball down, he won't be running the RPO. But if they have Justin Fields, they might run RPO. Or if they have Trey Lance, they might run RPO because those two guys can really scoot. But we all know the NFL game is built on a quarterback throwing the ball, and Mac Jones does it better than the other two. And although I've seen all the tapes and graded all the tapes on Justin Fields. And I mean, I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly, and he is a terrific quarterback. And if they took him at three, I wouldn't have a holler, but it would be kind of going against a little bit, what Kyle Shanahan wants to do and what he has done in the past wherever he's been. And I think that Mac Jones fits their profile because, as we all know, that teams look for their profile players at a lot of positions, whether it's offensive line, running backs in your zone blocking scheme or a gap scheme or quarterbacks. And so I think that Mac Jones fits their prototype.
Looking at your guide, you guys have Rashad Bateman going to the Titans at 22, the wide receiver from Minnesota. Why do you like him, and why do you think that would be a good fit?
Well, being right here in Big Ten territory, I've seen Bateman live, and I've seen him over his career. And, I mean, last year or 2 years ago when they had Tyler Johnson there, you know, Johnson was kind of their guy. He ended up going, I think it was in the sixth round to Tampa, and got some playing time. He did some, make some nice catches. But, boy, every time Bateman got on the field, man, you see this receiver that would just spear the ball out of it. I mean, if it was, and believe me, Minnesota does not have a good passing quarterback, which was kind of good when you're evaluating film, because you can see him catch, you can see Bateman catch all these bad throws that the quarterbacks were throwing. I mean, he could spear that ball right out of the air and then get on and keep on running, and he's really a good vertical receiver. They really major a lot in the slant and the dig routes and things. He's a tough kid. He'll go over the middle, he's a good blocker. His head coach was an excellent college receiver, P.J. Fleck, and so I think that he got the best of all Fleck's knowledge, and he is going to be going in that. You know, whether it's he's going to be taken by the Titans or he's going to be taken by Baltimore, I think he's going to go in that later first round, the bottom of the bottom third of the first round.
A guy that we've talked about on this show, just because we're in SEC country, and it worked out the last time they took a wide receiver from Ole Miss, A.J. Brown's been pretty good and pretty good to the Titans. So Elijah Moore gets a lot of discussion on this show, and he's another guy that I've seen kind of all over the place when you think about, you know, looking at these draft boards. You guys have him more closer to kind of the middle of the second round. Why? And I've seen him in the first round on a lot of boards, middle of the first round, late first round, beginning of the second round. You guys have him, I think, at 42 to the Giants. Well, tell us a little bit about Elijah Moore, and why do you think he's more of a kind of a mid-second round guy?
Well, I'll tell you, Darren, as a receiver now, we've got him, I think, our seventh receiver overall. But, yeah, as a player, you're right, the 42nd spot. But I think the reason we got him, well, the reason I know we got him kind of in that, because there's a bunch of white of that size of wide receiver in that bunch with Tony, for instance, from Florida. You got Rondale Moore from Purdue. They're kind of bunched up there. Dwayne Eskridge is a little bit later. They're all kind of that guy that's around 5'9", 185, can really run and explosive. But Elijah Moore, if he went late in the first, because our grade on him is eight something in the high eights, and which means, you know, he's a second round guy, but if, you know, he's close enough that if he went in the late first, it wouldn't shock us. A late first would be a 9-1 or somewhere 9-0-5, somewhere in there. And so he's close enough to be, you know, in that group. It's just a matter of the type of receiver that you want. If you want a slot receiver that's really explosive, he's not really an outside guy, but he's more of an inside slot receiver that you could put, you know, on the outside once in a while. But he's going to make his money working the inside zone between the hash marks and crossing routes and tunnel screens, things like getting his hands on the ball, run after catch, because he is an explosive guy. So I think that's why we kind of favor the little bigger receivers, but there's so many of these that size, we've kind of got them bunched together there toward the top of the second.
Speaking with Dan Shanka, Our Lad Scouting Service, speaking of the second round, you have the Titans taking Davion Nixon, the big defensive tackle from Iowa. Tell us a little bit about him, and why do you see that as a possible fit?
Well, he's a multiple alignment type defender up front. He can play he can play a three technique. He can play in the under position. He could move out and play at defensive end if he had to. And I think it's all ahead of him. He is an ascending guy that kind of exploded this year. He's the Big Ten Defensive Lineman of the Year. And he rotated a year ago, and then this year he got to be the guy. And he did a lot of good things. He's inside chaos pressure type player. You can put him at the nose if you had to, and you know, just anymore the defenses are they mix them up a lot and have guys align different spots and so he could, you know, move out to, quote, the defensive tackle position for the Titans where Simmons is playing. He could go defensive end where, you know, Autry is right now. Mack is, I think, really the only tight end on the roster. Nose tackle on the roster. So I think that he would be an addition. And whether he's the guy or they grab somebody else, and this isn't a very deep defensive line draft, so I think that those guys like Nixon are going to go up there a little bit earlier, and like Barmore, he's probably going to go in the first, and then you got Nixon in there, and we like Wilson from Florida State, although, you know, he was kind of hot and cold this year, but 2 years ago, he was a real man inside, so I think that there's not a lot of those guys, so, you know, Nixon is probably going to be available there in the second round.
We're talking to Dan Shanka of Our Lads Scouting. So if you're a team looking for a linebacker that could be versatile, you know, could play inside, could play outside, depending on the scheme that the team runs, but you're looking for somebody more in the middle rounds, so either late day two or early day three, who are some that come to mind for you that you'd be interested in and as maybe being a project, but being somebody you could get in those middle rounds?
Well, I tell you, a guy that's not getting a lot of play, but I really like him. And certainly on the inside, like when you line up in a 4-2, if you're in the running situations, I mean, he's going to hammer you inside. But that's Derek Barnes from Purdue. I really like that guy. He played on the outside at Purdue a couple years ago, and they moved him some inside this year, and they move him around. Now, he hasn't got a ton of experience in coverage, okay? That's kind of the sticky wicket. But he is a terrific football player and will contribute, you know, in all the special teams. And if you want to stick him in on rundowns, if he's going to be that guy that you want blitzing off the edge because he has absolutely no fear. I mean, he really brings it. Like him a lot as a player. I think that Buddy Johnson is a later guy from Texas A&M who's a really good leader, runs in the high 4.5s, sideline to sideline player that's not bad in coverage, and he's ascending there because sometimes these guys aren't asked to do a lot coverage-wise. You don't really know. And, you know, you see some guys in the Senior Bowl, and that's the first time that, you know, you really got to see him sometimes in coverage. Anyway, Johnson is another one.
Dan, a guy I'm curious about is, you know, and he's not a quarterback that's getting a lot of talk, but Sam Ellinger out of Texas had a, you know, an up and down career, I guess you could say, but what do you see in him? Is there anything at the next level, or is he just what he is?
He is what he is. We got him as a free or a late, like seventh round priority free agent guy. He was really a good college quarterback. You know, there's no question about that. But I think when you talk about the NFL in regards to accuracy, ball placement, velocity, all that, I mean, if you want him on your team as a third quarterback, take snaps to get you out of a game or to end in a game, he's that kind of guy, but I just don't ever see him even being a good backup in the NFL. He's kind of what he is.
Okay, so who in your mind would be somebody that, you know, could potentially be developed into a backup, not necessarily a starter?
Well, a guy that I really like, and we're probably by ourselves on that one, which I don't mind because we've been down that road before, but Peyton Ramsey from Northwestern, he played at Indiana. You know, he's around 6'2", he's about 220, somewhere in there, runs really well, he can pull the ball down. I mean, he doesn't run well compared to like Fields and Lance, but I mean, he's a NFL quarterback kind of runner, you know. I mean, he can pull that ball down when he has to, but the thing that I look at is the good decisions. you know, and the ability to make the right decisions and a quick synapse from their brain to, hey, they see that guy open, they hit it right now. And he isn't quite as talented as some of those early guys, but I think that, you know, Peyton Ramsey is that kind of guy that could develop as a backup. His dad's a former high school coach and everything. He's from Cincinnati, Ohio. You know, just, I mean, he's a football guy. Like him, like Ian Book from Notre Dame, kind of that same role. Being, you know, you could just, he'll, I mean, he'll never probably be a starter, but he can get you out of a game and won't make mistakes. And, you know, he can, now he can scramble with the ball. I mean, he can, when he has to pull the ball down, he can scramble and do that. But I think that, those are guys, and a guy that I like too, but man alive, he's so inconsistent, so I had to put him down there, you know, a little bit later. But he when you see him throw the ball, if you saw him throw the ball in the second half of a lot of the Tulsa games, Zach Smith is that guy, but boy, does he need, I mean, his consistency is off, but he's got the big time tools.
Now, I jumped around on myself, so I apologize for that, but back to linebacker.
Jumped around on yourself?
I did, yeah. I meant to ask about these two guys, and I went into quarterbacks, I know. Two linebackers in particular, Chaz Surratt out of North Carolina, Dylan Moses out of Alabama. What are your thoughts on them?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Surratt, obviously, he's probably going to go in the second round. You know, former quarterback that made a nice adjustment, understands what's happening in the secondary because he was a former quarterback before they got Howell in there, and then they moved him over a couple of years ago. But he's a Surratt's a terrific athlete, and he got better and better. Every game you could see him getting better. So, you know, we see him in that second, third round area and can cover. He's a very good athlete, can really run. He can match up on people. If he has to walk out on a tight end or a slot guy, you know, that's a good matchup that that would, you know, not necessarily favor the defense, but at least you've got the guy covered. Dylan Moses, and as long as he stays healthy, Moses is, he's not quite as good in coverage as Surratt, but he's a really good run player. Of course, he had the ACL a year ago, and he just kind of knocked off the rust this year. And, you know, we see him in the middle rounds.
And then last one for me, Gregory Rousseau is somebody that I know in the early mocks some people had going to the Titans. Obviously, that's changed with what they did in the offseason with free agency. But what do you think about Gregory Rousseau? Is he still kind of a first-round guy, or do you see him maybe dipping down into another round?
Yeah, well, that, you know, I guess if he went in the first round, it wouldn't shock me, because he does have first-round talent. Did not play this year at Miami, as you know, and they gave chance a guy like Jalen Phillips a chance to show what he could do after he transferred in from UCLA. But Rousseau is still in that late first-round area, early second round, because, boy, you see the tape on him when he played a year ago. He was terrific. He was a jackrabbit start kind of guy, get up the field, be disruptive. He kind of looks like a giant spider in there, and he's got those arms, long arms and legs, gets his hands up, and really hungry to play. And I think that it wouldn't shock me if he goes in the late first round, but he's not going to get out of the, you know, probably mid-second.
Talking to Dan Shanka from the RLAD Scouting Service. And Dan, just a question on a local guy that we saw here quite a bit at Vanderbilt. And I'm curious, too, just how you try to evaluate a guy like this. Dayo Odengbo, who played on a defense that was, you know, really struggling. They obviously didn't win a game. What's your grade on him, and how unique is it when you're trying to evaluate a guy that is not surrounded by a lot of talent?
Well, the other thing is that injury. You know, I think that's what, you know, that's the thing that probably knocks him down a little bit, you know, but he was a high effort guy, try hard player, smart guy, understands what his role is. You can count on him because of his consistency. And then unfortunately, you know, he got injured, and you always hate to see that on guys. But, you know, I think that depending on how he did on his recheck physical up in Indianapolis, you know, I think that He's probably going to go in those middle round area somewhere, you know, like we've got him, I think, at the top, I want to say the top of the fourth round, that's probably the fit for him. He does everything well, but he's got decent length. He's like 6'5 and change, about 280. He ran pretty good in the 4.8s, but we didn't get anything this spring, obviously, because he was injured. But I think the thing that you like about him is he can do, he can play on any defensive front, the 3-4 he could be. And that's probably ultimately what he'll be at anchor 5 technique. I wouldn't say he's an explosive pass rusher. He did a lot of good things, pressuring the quarterback and whatnot. But I think he's more of that kind of guy, that anchor in the in a 3-4-5 technique guy.
And the last thing for you, Dan, you were talking about some of the unique different styles of wide receiver that's out there. We had a great discussion last week about how, the position seems to be taught better. You have more refined players coming out of college. Teams are throwing it more. They're maybe emphasizing the route running a lot better than they did, maybe the generation before. Do you think it's easier to grab a wide receiver? I think I asked you this about tackles last week, but do you think it's more of a thing where a John Robinson could find an A.J. Brown in the second round like he did? Is it a little easier to do that these days than it was, say, 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah, because, all these passing camps that you see all over things, the guys have just developed as receivers. And then a lot of those guys that play basketball say they're really a good guard, maybe they're a 6'4 guard or a 6'4 forward, and they didn't have the skills you're looking for in basketball. They say, well, heck with this, I'll just go ahead and go to football, and because I'm a good athlete, I can jump, I can pluck that ball, and so there's more for the teams to go after, more players out there that are not only outstanding athletes but understand the game and know how to box out. All these passing camps, like Texas has had them for years, but they're all over the country now, and the high school kids in the summertime, that's what they do. And then, the receivers are working with their quarterbacks that are in college, all summer, and they're just throwing the heck out of the ball. And, Malcolm Gladwell, the great writer, said, 10,000 hours, baby. And these receivers, that's what they got, 10,000 hours. And, that's why they're so good.
Dan, we love it. We appreciate it as always. We're getting a little bit closer. Thanks for the visit.
You betcha. Anytime, guys. Great being with you as always.
All right. That is Dan Shanka, Our Lad Scouting Service. It's fantastic draft
guide. So fired up.
Fantastic.
It's good stuff. This is his time.
I know.
It's time to shine.
And boy, he does it every year. He brings it. All right. I'm going to talk to you about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. They bring it every day, too. They've been helping a lot of you in our listening area. They've been around in Middle Tennessee since 2007. They've certainly been helping me over the years become healthier and happier. They've been improving my quality of life. I hope you want that like I do. They would love to help you with your immune system or your energy levels or your cognitive function, so much more. They do a lot under one roof. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is the board-certified physician. His wife, Daphne, is the registered nurse, and their experienced staff can help you in so many areas. They've got a state-of-the-art facility out there in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle, and maybe you've tacked on some unwanted pounds, right? We've all gone through that as adults. Well, they've got programs and products and people that can get you going back in the right direction where you can shed those unwanted pounds. Rejuvenation. Appearance should always be important, especially as we all get older and we age, it gets harder. But you can talk to them about PRP, hair removal, Botox, and hormone therapy, another category that maybe you've been feeling off lately. You haven't been feeling yourself. You haven't had any drive or any energy, or just you feel off and you're wondering what's going on, or maybe you experienced some mood swings. Well, get your levels checked. You never know if they have dipped or they have dipped to an all-time low. That can affect you in some or all of these categories. And you can discuss with them BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. They do it all under one roof. If you need to schedule a consultation or an appointment, dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. You can always learn everything about them by going to their website, coolspringsmd.com. Thank you, David. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this gorgeous Tuesday afternoon. I actually saw his miracle field this weekend. We were playing a tournament at McKnight Park in Murfreesboro, which is a really nice little complex. It's the first time we've ever played there, and his miracle field is right there, part of that complex. And they were there, you know. Little kids. I mean, I guess that's what, you know, it's been a while now. I guess that's what probably Maddox looked like at four. They looked like they were about two out there. And then, I mean, throughout the course, all day Saturday, they were constantly running events on his miracle field. So that was the first time I'd actually seen it. So have you guys seen David Price's miracle field before?
I have not.
I've seen it. It looks great.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And they do a lot of good things for you know, underprivileged kids and everything. So it's a really awesome gesture by his foundation. So that was the first time I got a chance to see it. But they were blasting the music. Those kids were having fun. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, the field's designed so that kids that, say, might be in a wheelchair you know,
correct,
maybe have other physical disabilities can play easier. You know, the surface is set up so that they can, you know, they can play a game. They can smoothly.
I think it's turf.
It's turf, so they can smoothly, you know, get across and things like that. So it's a great idea behind it. It's fantastic. I've seen some videos of, you know, kids participating. They love it. It's awesome.
Yeah, they were certainly having a good time on Saturday. All right, it's time to text that keyword in. Yep, it's time for you to enter a chance to win that Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, nut and dessert nut from Nothing Bundt Cakes, T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. Just keep in mind, you must be 21 years of age or older to enter. And so you know we've teamed up with T-Mobile, and it's time to give away a hockey home gating party. Text in the word puck. Text in the word puck to 615-737-1025. 737-1025. Text in the word puck. That's our text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. So good luck with that. Keep doing what you've been doing when it comes to this. Participation has been through the roof, and we appreciate it. And we appreciate you listening. All right, what did you guys make of the always energetic Dan Cianca?
Well,
he's always energetic. Hey, can we interject this, Chase? I just saw what you texted, and I had gotten a little hint of this last night, but this is newsworthy, I think, just to drop in on the Predators, that Elie Tolvanen is now considered day-to-day as well as Brad Richardson. So that would indicate those guys are a little bit closer.
John Hines putting that out, speaking to the media.
Yeah, John Hines saying that before they hopped the plane. That means, I think, probably that it's reasonable to say that those guys are on the plane.
Yeah.
Or else, you know, they don't take those guys unless
right.
there's a chance.
If they're day to day, sure. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know about tomorrow, but, you know, Tolvanen in particular, we know since he's been out, they don't have a single power play goal. Mm-hmm. They need him badly. Now, Richardson, they've filled his role pretty well with the herd, right? So Richardson will have to fight his way in there. I don't know if he's automatic anytime soon to get in.
Well, you tell me who's coming out.
Exactly. I mean, on the bottom six, you know, you're pretty pretty packed right
there,
now.
There
now, things could change, and it's nice to have a veteran like that ready to go because he plays that style. But you're not messing with those guys right now.
Nope.
But Tolvanen, you make room for him, that's for sure. So that's a good sign.
Right, but that's another thing. Somebody's got to come out. Who's the odd man out?
It's going to be that's who it is.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be.
What number are they?
Their number. Yep.
A good thing. It's a good problem, right? It's not an easy thing to tell that person he's coming out, but, you know, I think, honestly, I think it's pretty clear who would come out, if you ask me.
Oh, it's pretty clear.
It's pretty clear.
Okay. Yeah.
For Tolvanen, for the role he plays.
No, I mean, I understand he's going in when he's but, I mean, who's coming? You think it's pretty clear who's coming out?
Yeah.
Rocco?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And not that it's easy to take him out, not that he's played bad, but I think he's just, with the role that he plays, I think he's the odd man out.
I would like to petition Gary Bettman to allow the fifth line to be created So I think we should do that.
But keep this in mind. They play tomorrow. I don't know if Tolvanen will be in there tomorrow. Somebody could get banged up tomorrow. So, nobody's out until they're out. You know what I mean? It's like, so you just got to keep playing as long as they call your number and, do the job. Compete to stay in. And I think all those guys have done that. It's not an easy decision, whoever they decide to rotate out.
So to your original question, Darren, on the draft and Dan Shanka, the Bateman pick is interesting to me at 22. Because now, we've seen this, and you see this all the time with mock drafts and depending on what happens in free agency. But watching the evolution of the Titans mock, it started with edge rusher. And so you had Rousseau was one. Jalen Phillips was one. And then it kind of went into corner, after the moves that they made there. And J.C. Horn, his name was mentioned. Now we're seeing receiver. Now we're seeing a lot of the mocks and a lot of people thinking that they're going to go receiver. And whether it's, Elijah Moore jumping up, I've seen Kadarius Toney's name, and then Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota, as who Dan was just talking about, is being that potential pick there at 22 or late in the first round, whenever the Titans pick, if they decide to move back. I continue to say with a lot of these, and I'm not high on Kadarius Toney, but I kind of feel like with a lot of these and a lot of these position groups that the Titans need, it's going to be hard to screw this up. I just think there's a lot of talent here. They're not all going to hit, but Bateman would be a fine choice. I said yesterday and have been saying that I'm a big fan of Elijah Moore, and so I was glad that you brought him up as well. But if they went Terrace Marshall out of LSU, if he's there, I don't think that's a bad pick. But, Teron's brought up Dwayne Eskridge as well. So I feel like that they can get it right if they decide to take a receiver in the first round.
Let me ask you guys about Elijah Moore. I think that's a great example of what I've been sort of centering in on the last few times we've interviewed some of our draft experts who have different points of view, like Trent Dilfer and Tim last week. And then Dan this week. This is the way I look at it. I'm not sure I would take a... He talked about Elijah Moore as being sort of a borderline second round grade, right? The way Dan Shanka does it, he's got him, 42nd, something like that. But he said, I could see somebody taking him in the first round. But if it's me, and I'm hearing all these stories about how refined the wide receiver position is, it's pretty deep this year. So why would you take a guy with a second round grade in the first round? If you have a second round grade, right? I mean, the Titans might have a first round grade on Elijah Moore. But I would think you would wait
wide receiver list,
and not
though.
Draft, not reach for a receiver if you believe that the draft is deep. And I don't know, that's the way I look at it. I find that intriguing that Elijah Moore might be a second-round grade, but somebody might draft him in the first round. I would think you'd go the opposite with receiver.
Well, he said actually in his wide receiver rankings he had Elijah Moore. He said that's why he said he had him seventh.
Mm-hmm.
He said he could see somebody taking him in the he wouldn't be surprised if somebody took him in the first round.
Right.
Well, and I just pulled while we're having this conversation. I mean, Ryan Wilson, who we had on, a few weeks ago, doesn't have them taking – in the first round, he has the Titans still going edge with Carlos Basham. And then if you go down into the second round, the Titans are supposed to have the 53rd overall pick. That's where he addresses wide receiver with Rondale Moore, which is another one that I wouldn't hate. So to your point, Willie, I think you're right. That you could see, you could see the receiver and getting a good receiver like they did with AJ Brown in the second round and even beyond that. I mean, I think you're going to see some going in even into the third.
Who's going to kick for them this year?
That's a solid question there, D-Mac.
Does anybody know?
I brought it up a few
kicker.
Times with our draft experts.
Anybody know who's going to kick for them?
Are you suggesting they should draft a kicker?
No, I'm not. I don't know. I
Because I would never do that. I would never draft a kicker.
You mean, no, but
no matter what?
No matter what.
It worked well for the Bucs. Not
really.
No, it didn't.
I was being sarcastic.
Yeah, no. That's the only team I'm saying. Like, I'm trying to think.
Let's see. The Raiders, obviously, still too high. What round did Blankenship go to the Colts?
He was undrafted.
Was he undrafted?
He was.
Really?
I was very disappointed that the Titans didn't sign him.
He went undrafted. I thought he was a late-round pick.
Mm-mm.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I guess that just tells you right there. I mean, to Willie's point, I mean, I probably don't waste a draft pick on a kicker.
It just doesn't work. Like Joe Rexroad pointed out, the two picks they've used on quarterbacks that they've just discarded.
Yeah, just
I just feel like you got a better chance of a hit at another position. I don't know. That is really strange to me how that has happened. And I feel like that could happen if you draft a kicker. If he doesn't get off to a good start, you're not going to keep him. You just can't have a project, right? We're like, hey, we're developing this draft pick as a kicker. You just can't do that. He's either got to be your kicker or he's not. So he's got to be special to even consider it. Mm-hmm. So I just think that there will be kickers out there. You just try to find the right one. It's a lot like, you know, I don't know. It's not the same thing, but I see a lot of goalies. Let's take Lankinen that we saw last night. He's been a nice fit for Chicago, kind of out of nowhere. Right? He wasn't a high pick. You know, just worked on his craft over time, like a late bloomer. Chris Mason was like that too. A lot of time in the minors. There are kickers that they just keep working at it. They keep working at it. They're on a practice squad. They try out every year. They don't quite make it, but they get better and better, and then they get a chance. They make the kicks in the game, and they stick. And then sometimes once they stick, they're there for 15 years. I think that's still the best way to find a kicker to me.
Yeah.
Sometimes you struggle. Sometimes you go through like, oh, man, we don't have a kicker. It's such a stressful thing, as we've seen firsthand here, right? They went through it 2 years ago.
Yeah, I'm not convinced that they're not going to bring Gostkowski back. They just haven't done it yet.
Do you think that's probably what they're doing? Are they going to do?
I lean that way, unless, you know, I see. I mean, there's no rush.
Right.
Because you know that he's still out there, or you could sign an undrafted guy,
There could be a rush if somebody went and signed him. I don't think that's going to happen.
Sure, but you know. It's also up to him. You know, he may say, like, I'm either going to kick for the Titans or I'm not going to kick.
Is there any chance it's Tucker McCann?
I mean, I think there's a chance.
I think you have to say there's a chance, sure. I mean, they've held on to him this long. So why wouldn't
there
be
a chance? Forgetting? Who's the guy again that kicked the division-winning field goal at the end?
Sloman.
I mean, Sloman the showman. How could you not get Sloman?
Come on.
You know?
Give him. Sloman's out there.
He is definitely out
there. He's a hero.
He's out there.
He was drafted, too.
He was drafted?
Seventh round, 248th overall in the 2020 draft to the Rams.
Ooh.
Wow.
Sam Sloman, Miami, Ohio's greatest.
He's got upset. He's got upside.
I feel even better about what you said. Yeah, don't draft.
There's options.
Don't draft. That was a seventh round pick? Yeah, don't. Don't do it. Don't do it. All right, Willie, tell everybody about loans.
All right. How about Loan Pronto? That is what I'm going to tell you about. Pronto. They are a tremendous sponsor of our show. We are really glad to have them aboard. And so let me tell you about this process about refinancing your home or taking out a home equity line of credit from working with Loan Pronto. The zero cost refi is what we're talking about. So there's a couple of things you can do here. Number one, with Loan Pronto, you lower that monthly mortgage payment. It saves you sometimes several hundred dollars per month. That's a huge thing for your budget. So that's one reason to do it. But others might be looking to do something with home improvement. Maybe you want to do a renovation and you need some cash, where you can work off of your home's equity with Loan Pronto. And here's the best part about it. The zero-cost refi is really streamlined. It's not the hassle that it has been before. They're going to cut out a lot of the process. They're going to simplify. It's faster. It's easier. and it's less expensive. It's going to save you all of the closing costs. No closing costs, and your next two house payments will be skipped altogether. That must be music to your ears. If you've done this before and it's been a long process, call Loan Pronto right now, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, and ask about that zero-cost refi. You can also go online at loanpronto.com, find out about their VA loan rates, which are also available. They specialize in the VA streamline loans. So that's another thing to ask about at 615-499-5780 or loanpronto.com. You want to ask about the zero-cost refi. Equal housing lender. NMLS 1661781, subject to lender approval. No cash refi, not available on all loans.
Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, Tim Hasselbeck, normally Wednesdays at noon. His TV schedule, darn ESPN and TV, just keeps getting in the way. So he's going to join us at 1 o'clock. So we keep having some conflicts on Wednesdays. That's fine. We'll talk to him here coming up in about 10 minutes.
I told him we're going to put his face on a wheel. And we're just going to spin it around, and that's when he's going to come on with us.
But would that work though? I mean, I feel like they're just. And I will say, I mean, he's if you turn it on, they're using him for all their NFL Live and Get Up and Sports Center. I mean, they are using him a lot.
He's right a popular
now.
Guy.
He is a popular guy. I was just reading during the break. I don't mean to laugh, but it's when you see the results, then you kind of have to chuckle. UTEP football has been hit with some penalties by the NCAA. The NCAA is going to take all their anger out on the minors. They have hit them with a one-year show cause for their head coach, Dana. Is it Dana Dimel? Dimel?
Sure.
Okay. he has evidently had his quality control assistants. Okay. He's had his quality control assistants helping coach in practice. And the NCAA said that is an absolute no-no. Now,
say no.
I bring that up because on his watch, they have won, let's see, in 2018 they went 1-11. 2019 they went 1-11. In 2020 they went 3-5.
Is that bad?
It's not good.
So they have gone on Dana, whatever his last name is, on his watch. What's that? 5-27. And the NCAA has hit them with a one-year show cause because they've been using quality control assistants at practice. That's a no-no.
Not much quality.
Willie flying
please,
in off the top.
Please make
rope.
That a promo. Please make that a promo.
Not much quality.
NCAA, you keep doing a bang up job, but boy, you show them.
They really brought the miners down.
Boy, you show those miners.
There's no way they're going 5-27 the next few years now.
No way.
They'd be lucky to win three.
Well, they sound like miners for sure. Like that is the miners.
1 year show cause. That's like Ed Orgeron last year going, you know what? This is outlandish. We're going to penalize ourselves. We are not going to a bowl game this year. We cannot be doing this stuff.
Speaking of that, anybody know what's going on with the Tennessee investigation? You know, they.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not on anybody's mind. Like, they've moved forward. But, you know, remember, they made it a point. Oh, we cannot tolerate any wrongdoing, and this is an outrage. Like, what's going on with the legal situation with Jeremy Pruitt? Is he going to recapture any money? I would love to know what's going on with that mess. But it's been sort of swept under the rug because you got the new guy in there and everybody's watching the spring and all that stuff.
Yeah, they were like, we will not tolerate any of this. Now please watch this 20-minute tribute video to Philip Fulmer.
And we're moving on. Here's our new coach.
They probably felt like that was punishment enough. They had Jeremy Pruitt for 3 years.
Oh, what an awful hire.
I mean.
But like the NCAA.
Awful.
You know, we rightfully so. Ribbed the NCAA, but that's something, you know, Tennessee came forward with these things, right? Oh, these allegations. We've got to figure this out. We can't keep this coach. But with that should be some penalties, right? They fired the coach for cause.
You would think.
So what are the NCAA violations?
That's why it's so laughable. You all these things you bring up, and then you know they hit UTEP with a show cause. Right. We're going to get you, you guys. How dare you do that? You go 1-11 every year. If you weren't doing that, you wouldn't win a game, guys. So that's a 1-year show cause.
The thing that cracks me up is when a program like that, which I guess using quality control coaches, like, how is that big of a deal? But you cheat or you break the rules and you suck. So obviously you're not doing it right. Like, if you're going to cheat, figure out a way to win. Tennessee.
Who were we just talking about? Hello?
Tennessee, prime example. But he couldn't even cheat right.
Well, but he did, though. He got the kids. He got the recruits.
Well, he did.
And recruiting did work. I mean, they were tearing it up on the recruiting trail. And they were clearly, doing some stuff that maybe stuff that are frowned upon. But it didn't help them. But, I mean, it did help them because everybody thought that it was, that they were getting the players in there. They just didn't do anything with them.
And now he and Derek Dooley are on the same staff, which is just tremendous. Tremendous.
The Giants?
Yes. As a Cowboys fan,
I was just thinking, too, guys, when's the last time that you saw a UTEP football game?
Ever? I've been to their stadium. I saw a bowl game there, but UTEP wasn't in it. No.
I think Jordan Palmer was there the last time I actually tuned in to a UTEP football game.
I think we know the answer to that.
Let's see here.
Who was the last big minor?
They are in. I say so.
No, I understand that. But
did they play?
Aaron
MCSU
Jones
this year?
Was there?
Was he?
Yeah, Aaron Jones
was
there.
Aaron Jones was a minor.
He was a minor. Yeah, they still I guess weren't very good when he was there, but he was there. He is a UTEP alum.
Wow. I mean, I just kind of feel like they're. Their claimed fame is like Tim Hardaway, right?
Let's see. So this year.
That's what I think. I think more of their basketball than football.
In football, they played Texas and lost 59-3.
All right.
See, that's why they needed extra practice.
Will Healy and Charlotte defeated them 38-28 in October. Did not play the Blue Raiders. Yeah.
5-27.
Sounds like the Blue Raiders need to schedule the minors.
No bowl game for you guys.
Games.
Like twice a year. Do a home and home in the same
season. A couple of home and home.
Double
Get
header.
Dubs. And hit with the show costs.
Do it long enough, you'll get bowl eligible.
Their phone might be ringing, honestly.
Now, you may remember this.
You guys want to play?
2 years ago or 3 years ago, 2018, they actually played in Knoxville. And lost 24-0 to Tennessee.
That was
I don't remember that game.
That was a memorable game.
I think that was on Vol Vision.
The fact that it was only 24-0.
We can't even put that on SEC Network.
Yeah,
Plus.
That didn't even get on YouTube.
They used to have a couple games per year that were just on pay per view because they didn't make any of the channels before the SEC Network and the streaming services came in.
There remember watching like many a Tennessee Southern Miss game on Dish Network pay per view.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back.
Jeremy Pruitt's first year, I think.
Tim Hasselbeck to begin the final hour of Darren Donick and Chase. That's next.